Food as the only day in which we honor mothers. Rather, this should be the kind of a day where we realign our priorities according to the Word of God so that we can pattern the rest of our days as far as our relationships are concerned after the biblical pattern. Mother's Day has been a concept that has been actively perpetuated in the history of the Christian church and in the history of the world. Many of our civilizations, ancient and otherwise, set aside a certain day in which they gave specific honor to their mothers. But the U.S. observance of Mother's Day has been characterized by church ties from the start. The first general observance of that occasion was in the churches of Philadelphia many years ago. Mother's Day. And being that this morning, I want us to turn our attention to what the Word of God has to say. But before we do that in specific, I would like us to get a general idea from the concept of the world as to the place and the role of the mother. G. Campbell Morgan, who is known, he has passed away, but he is known by many as the Prince of Bible Expositors. If you would like to read some of his sermons, I have some available in my office in volume form. He made this statement, and I quote, he said, "My dedication to the preaching of the word, my dedication to the preaching of the word was maternal. Mother never told it to the baby or to the boy except in terms of storytelling. And when he was 8 years old, he said, I preached to my little sister and to her dolls arrayed in orderly form before me. He said, my sermons were Bible stories which I first heard from my mother." Along that same line, when he married and had children, he had 4 sons, and all of them went into the ministry. And at a particular family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons, "Which Morgan is the greatest preacher?" While the son looked at the father, he replied, "Mother." General Douglas MacArthur had this to say. He said, "My sainted mother taught me a devotion to God and a love of country which have ever sustained me in many lonely and bitter moments of decision in distant and hostile lands. To her, I yield anew a son's reverential thanks." And then Theodore Roosevelt had this to say, and I quote, "When all is said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the next men and women of the coming generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she only would realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is the more important by far than a successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist." End quote. And those are some quotes from some of our more prominent figures in history. But the Word of God also has much to say about the role of women, especially in their role of being mothers. And if you would turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 13, I would like to again bring your attention to that passage of Scripture that we dealt with several weeks ago, Romans chapter 13. Verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And then he says this, owe no one anything. Now it is unlikely to assume that he just switches his tense from a tense of owing allegiance and respect and obedience to individuals in authority to money. And yet what we have done in the Christian church is when we read verse 8, we read, and owe no man anything, it seems to us to be, we think in terms of money. But he is talking not just about money. He is talking about our responsibility to those who are in authority over us. And we are to give tribute to whom tribute is due, honor to whom honor is due, fear to whom fear is due, and you can put names in each of those categories. And the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor thy father and mother, in order that it might be well with you, and that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God shall give you. And we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And this is the first commandment with a promise. You read through all of those commandments listed in the book of Exodus chapter 20, and you will find that the commandment to give honor to your mother and to your father is the first commandment to which is attached a promise. And beloved people, we have a responsibility in relation to the Old Testament and also in relation to the New Testament to give honor to our mothers. Now, as we noted in this passage of Romans chapter 13 several weeks ago, the concept here in the United States of America is that we give honor to whom honor is due. And how we interpret that word due is those individuals that deserve it. Understand? The American way is to give honor to those individuals who deserve honor. In other words, they have earned it. So consequently, we are teaching a form of rebellion. And this is what we say. If the individual has not earned it, then you have a right to rebel against them. But the Word of God knows no such distinction. It says, give honor to whom honor is due, and the Word of God states that honor is due to the mother, whether she is a good mother or a horrible mother. The way she does the job God gives her is irrelevant to the point that those who are under her authority are to give her honor because of her position and because of her responsibility before the Lord, not just because she does a good job. So children, there is no excuse for the day-to-day disobedience that is oftentimes displayed in homes towards parents and particularly towards mothers. In 1971, an African leader, to celebrate Mother's Day, now pay attention to this, this is going to blow your mind. In 1971, an African leader, in order to celebrate Mother's Day, ordered that all of those individuals that were accused of crimes against their mother were to be executed. That sound horrible? Every individual that was guilty of a crime against their mother was to be taken out and executed. But you know, that's not so horrible, at least horrible in the sense of foreign, because the Word of God says the same thing. Now, don't panic, children, because we're going to explain some things. But by the same token, get the fear of God in your heart, because God means business, about your responsibility towards your parents, and especially in this day towards your mother. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 7. Now keep in mind about that African leader, and he was not so far off base according to what was taking place in biblical times. Mark chapter 7, verse 10. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. In other words, whoso curses their mother or father, and you can curse somebody by your action, or you can curse somebody by your speech. And it's not just swearing at them. This word means to deride them, make fun of them, mock them, be disrespectful to them. You understand what he's saying? Let them die the death. Let them be taken out and executed like a common criminal. And I want to show you the passage that comes from in Exodus chapter 21. You can be willing to bet that there weren't too many disciplinary problems in the family during the time of Moses. Exodus chapter 21, verse 17. God is giving some divine laws and ordinances. And he says in verse 17, and he that curseth, and that word again means revileth, he that curseth or revileth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And they did it. They did it. Do you understand? When an individual child rebelled and reviled against his parents, and it became public knowledge, they took that individual out and they executed him. Now you say, that's a horrible thing. Perhaps in our understanding, in our concept of life, it is a horrible thing. But I want you to understand what God was trying to impress upon the people. In his eyes, what was more horrible than that individual being stoned was that individual in rebellion and disobedience to his parents. That, in God's sight, got the same kind of penalty as murder. In God's sight, when a child disobeys, is disrespectful, or is in a state of rebellion, in God's eyes, it is the same to him as if that kid had gone out and murdered someone. That's how God sees it. And what he's trying to show his people, and his people in Old Testament times were the Israelites, his people in New Testament times are the church, what he's trying to show his people is that God has an awesome respect for the authority that he has placed on earth. And he wants the people that are under that authority to catch his aura of respect and to render to those individuals the respect that is due them because of their position. Nothing is said here in Scripture about rotten parents. Nothing is said here about the fact that if the parent is an unsaved individual, then you don't have to obey them. Nothing is said here of the fact that if a parent beats the child, you don't have to obey them. Nothing is said here of the fact that if a parent curses the child, you don't have to obey them. Now we are given a qualifying statement in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, as unto the Lord. So if a parent is going to forbid you from your God-given rights to life, your God-given rights to worship, your God-given rights to prayer, that is, you are to render an obedience that is unto the Lord. That means you are to do it as God would have you do it. And if they are going to withdraw from you the privilege of worship, then from the way I understand the Word of God, you have the right to circumvent that authority. We've already looked at this. But very, very few parents are involved in this. Very few parents are forbidding worshiping. Very few parents are forbidding prayer. What parents are forbidding is carousing. and drugs and illicit sex and maybe the wrong kind of movies. And that gives you no right to say, I'm going to be in rebellion to my parent. No, the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. Now, the Bible does say an awful lot about the responsibility of the parent, the responsibility of the father, the responsibility of the mother. And those are the individuals that are going to be held accountable for how they use the responsibility God gave them. And it's an awesome thing. But when we're talking about giving honor, there are no qualifications to giving honor. And I know some of you have come from some pretty bad backgrounds, some pretty bad situations in your home life. The Bible says to give honor to your parents, honor your mother. And you see, beloved people, I believe that when we refuse to follow through with the Word of God and we begin to hoard in ourselves attitudes of rebellion and resentment, and we say, well, my mother was such and such, or my father was such and such, and we begin to excuse our activities against them. Now, I'm talking to you as to whether you are a young person with a living parent, or you are an older person whose parents have passed away, or you're an older person whose parents are living. You are still to give honor to that individual. And it might have to be a kind of an honor that is given after they have passed away. For those of you that are faced with that situation, you have a responsibility before God to come and to repent of the fact that you have not given honor. And to in effect say, Lord, if I had the chance to do it over again, I would give them honor. And I hold them up before you, and I want to honor them now. And to thank you for the parents you've given me. Because, beloved people, let's understand something. We can all learn something from the type of parent that we have. Whether it's the kind of a learning of what not to be, or the kind of learning of what we should be, there is something for each of us to learn. So in God's eyes, not giving honor is a serious omission of responsibility. That honor is due because of the position. You parents have a right to expect your children to obey you and to honor you. You mothers have a right to respect. Anytime your child smart mouths you, you have a right to bring disciplinary action. You have that God-given right. And your children have the God-given responsibility. And part of training our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is teaching them what it means to submit to authority. And a part of our responsibility in submission to authority is to give honor to whom honor is due. Two times in the book of Proverbs, Solomon urges his sons not to forsake the law of his mother. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Now that's an interesting phrase, the law of your mother. It does not mean that the mother had a specific law that the child had to obey, and it has subsequently in time been lost and we don't know what it is. The law of the mother means the law of God that has come through the mother. The mother is a teacher. And he says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head, and chains upon thy neck. You know what he's saying here, beloved people? He is linking your ability to receive the grace of God to your relationship to your mother and your father. Your ability to receive the grace of God, it comes this way, is linked to how you have responded this way. And that's why I think it might be necessary for some of us to repent, even though our parents have passed away. Because there might be a block there to our receiving God's grace. There are many, many things that can block. I'm just pointing out this one particular thing this morning. And children who are still children, pay attention to this. Even if you don't like your mother or father, the Bible says you are to submit to them and to give honor to them because it is due them. And if you do not, it's going to block out the grace of God. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now he says the same thing over in chapter 6. Chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs. Verse 20. My son, this is Solomon speaking, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. Why? So that you are always aware of your responsibility. God has given children an awesome responsibility. And as far as my mother is concerned, I'm still her child. And while I have done what the Bible has said as far as leaving and cleaving, and I have my own parental situation now, I am still responsible to give honor to my mother, to whom it is due. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Young people, listen to this. If you're having a hard time finding the leading of the Lord and finding God to be a reality in your life, maybe this is the reason. Maybe there is rebellion in place of what the Bible says is to be honor. If that is the case, then the lamp is dimmed and the light is dark and you don't know which way to go. The reason God gave parents is to give that kind of guidance. And he pleads with his son here and he says, forsake not. Give heed to the commandments of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. He himself, imagine this man. He was ruling an empire. Israel had reached the greatest peak of its power that it had ever known and was ever to know. And he recognized the importance of tribute to his mother. Turn with me to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 11. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 11. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart, when he entered into the relationship with the people as their king. His mother had the honor to crown him. And King Solomon, no matter how far down he got in his personal sins, and his escape from the things of God, he never lost sight of the importance of giving honor to his mother. Proverbs chapter 31 is a result of that. It is a tribute. King Lemuel is King Solomon, and it is a tribute of Solomon to his mother. And you'll notice how he opens up that chapter in Proverbs chapter 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother gave him, the law of his mother. He took it and he made it part of his life, so that 35 years into his reign as the king, he was still able to relate to it and to give honor to whom honor was due. Now, we've looked at a lot of different individuals. We've looked at people in the world that we have been familiar with historically, General MacArthur. We've looked at some other individuals, some in the Christian church. One was President Theodore Roosevelt. We've looked at King Solomon from the Word of God. But I want us to, if we have to take just one point here this morning, I want us to just take this point and have the Holy Spirit burn it upon our memories. It's God Himself who has established the authority and the honor of the mother, the role of mother. I want you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. There are two passages here. Isaiah chapter 66, the last chapter in the book of Isaiah. Now, the book of Isaiah has been a hard book prophetically, because the prophet Isaiah has had to speak against the people time and time again, and he's had to warn them and tell them of impending judgment from God. And if you want to know more about the book of Isaiah, you as adults come to our Sunday school class on Sunday morning, because this is our topic. Put in a little plug here for the adult class. I had a ladies' class this morning, men. We need you in our Sunday school time to learn from the Word of God the things of God. Now, he tells them all throughout this book, a strong warning was offset against a precious word of hope. And I want to draw your attention to verse 13 of chapter 66. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When God was looking for a role model and for an example to tell the children of Israel something very special, something that they could relate to, when he was looking for an example to show them the kind of comfort that he was going to have for them, in spite of their sins, in spite of the fact that they were undergoing discipline, when he was looking for that role model, he came and he used the role of motherhood. He says, as a mother comforts her child, that's the kind of comfort I'm going to give to you. Now, beloved people, it's an awesome thing, and it is an awful thing when individuals don't know that kind of comfort from a mother. Do you know what it does to them? It gives them the wrong view of God. Because your view of God is linked to your view of your parents. And that's why we need to be praying for some of these homes, that the Spirit of God would come in and move and shake some of these parents into a state of wakefulness, that they might realize their responsibility before God. But here he says, as a comfort to his people. And in the Jewish mind, the mother was a very special figure. It was through the mother, through the woman, that they got their national identity. You see, you can have a Jewish father and a Gentile mother, and according to the Jewish system of thought, you will be a Gentile. And you can have a Gentile father and a Jewish mother, and according to the Jewish system of thought, you will be a Jew. So they have elevated the position of womanhood and motherhood to a special status. And God says, as your mothers have comforted you, so I'm going to comfort you. Now turn with me to chapter 49. I want to show you another passage here where he carries the same idea. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. They're talking about the fact that perhaps God has forgotten them. And he says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. You know what God is saying here? There is a very remote chance, that a woman will be able to forget her child. And I mean forget. We have a lot of situations in our day and age of women abandoning their children. But beloved people, the ones that I have come across never forget. In fact, it is a constant source of irritation and guilt to their minds because of what they did. And he says, can a woman forget her child? He says, there is a remote possibility of that, but he says, I will never forget you. So once again, when he's trying to talk about his compassion and his long-suffering towards his children, he uses motherhood as an example. It's a beautiful thing. It's an awesome and it's a beautiful privilege for women to become mothers. Jesus used it. God used it to show his compassion, to show his comfort, and to show the consistency of his love. The kind of a love, the kind of compassion, the kind of comfort that a mother displays. Therefore, beloved people, let us honor our mothers. Not necessarily in the American frame of thought, because they deserve it, but God's way. Honor to whom honor is due. And we'd like to set aside some time this morning to give honor to whom honor is due. And I would like all of you who are mothers or who are prospective mothers, okay? I want all of you that fit that category to come stand on the platform here behind me in a semicircle, okay? We'll start over here and we'll have you stand this way. You come. I'd like to read to you a poem. The author is not known. The poem is entitled The Blind Child. I know what mother's face is like, although I cannot see. It's like the music of a bell. It's like the roses I can smell. Yes, these it's like to me. I know what father's face is like. I'm sure I know it all. It's like his whistle on the air. It's like his arms which take such care and never let me fall. And I can tell what God is like, the God whom no one sees. He's everything my parents seem. He's fairer than my fondest dream and greater than all these. Shall we stand for prayer? And Father God, our prayer and the desire of our hearts is to give honor to whom honor is due. We ask that your Spirit would work in us to make that a reality, whether it's necessary to ask for repentance. We pray that you would prompt us, goad us, bring us to that point. Where necessary to make things right with those that are living, we pray that you would grant to us the opportunity and the courage in all cases to fulfill your word, to give honor to whom honor is due, and in this day to our mothers. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.